We are very focused on the research and development and trying to get people to that point. Our solicitations vary depending upon budget and requirements. But I think the key thing to remember if you're a vendor or a researcher is our full spectrum model, which includes the testing and the evaluation and transition. So most people are used to other agencies which just fund the basic research or fund research, don't fund development. We try to eliminate that valley of death that often exists. And I think that's important for the community to understand, and that's our difference maker from DHS Science and Technology. As part of that, we have several activities that we support within the community. I'll give you a couple of examples. We just recently finished our third IT Security Entrepreneur Forum. So this we hold it at Stanford. The program is developed jointly with a number of venture capitalists, but the end goal is to help the security entrepreneur, whether they be an academic or a small business, better understand how to get their product into the marketplace and into the government. That's been very successful. We also do something called a System Integrator Forum, very similar idea, taking our funded companies and academics, trying to partner them with system integrators. As the system integrators go after large contracts, this gives them an edge with some innovative new ideas coming out of the cybersecurity research community. So those are important pieces to understand about our program, is that we focus as much on the back end and ensuring the transition of technology as we do on the front end.
And to be clear, your requirements are set not just from pie in the sky. They're actually usually needs that flow down to you or flow to you from other parts of DHS. Is that how it works?
Not just DHS. So our requirements come from several places. National strategy documents like the National Strategy to Secure Cyberspace, as well as internal DHS customers, the National Cybersecurity Division, the Secret Service. We initiated a program in cyber forensics this year because of the interest of the law enforcement community, as well as the private sector. So through the National Infrastructure Protection Plan, or the NIP, all of the sectors are required to submit their research programs. Those research programs come into DHS and are then fed. Those that have cybersecurity requirements are fed to S&T.
And if you were going to talk to some of the agencies and say, what do agencies need to know about your work here? Help's on the way. Would that be your main message? Or what would you want to tell some of the agencies about what you guys do at S&T?
Well, I think the key for other agencies is the importance of partnering. I mean, the goal here is trying to secure infrastructure, provide new technologies for cybersecurity, and we can't do it on our own. So it's important that where it makes sense, we partner with DOE. One example is we partnership with DOE with the oil and gas sector on a project we call LOGIC, which is aimed at producing some solutions for the oil and gas sector. We're partnering with NSF. We're partnering with the folks at IARPA. So I think the key message for the agencies is, from an R&D standpoint, we're only one of many of the agencies. I do co-chair a group called the Cybersecurity and Information Interagency Working Group. And, there are 20 agencies that are regular members in that working group. And, we do work very closely together and partner where it makes sense.
S&T has been around for almost about 6 years. I think you mentioned May is your birthday. You guys must have some successes, some things when you look back that started 3, 4, 5 years ago that now are really making a difference in the cybersecurity community. Can you talk about maybe one example?
Sure. I think one of our most successful products has been a company called Iron Key. We funded them in 2005 to develop some new technologies to defend against malicious threats. They came up with an idea to build essentially a secure USB. They produced the product, first started shipping the product in 2007. They also went out and got two rounds of venture funding to go with what the government provided, but it's now a viable company, 100 employees, and their product is now in use within the government. We're using it inside S&T. And it's also, they've got a good footprint in the commercial marketplace, and we view that as a success.
What's the future hold? Where do you see some of the areas that you want to address from a cybersecurity standpoint over the next, 3 to 5 years? What's on the frontier, if you will?
We have a number of areas that we think are critical. One, of course, is software and software assurance. Everything now is running software, and every bug that's out there is because it's buggy software. So we intend to initiate a fairly large program in software assurance and try to improve both the development tools as well as the software analysis tools. Second, one of the significant downfalls, if you will, of the information security community has been building products that are usable. And so we intend to also initiate something in the usability area to try to help the research community build products that are more usable. We get better usable security, they'll get used, they'll get deployed, and we can start to defend against the bad guys. Of course, there are still, you know, areas of, you know, malware and being able to defend against malware, et cetera. But I think another up-and-coming area is insider threat. More and more concern about that area, not only in the government but in the commercial sector. We've seen more and more examples of employees abusing privileges and stealing intellectual property, et cetera. And so there's technologies that we need to develop, I think, that will help those who have to manage that infrastructure be able to detect when we have bad guys both inside and outside.